It's that time. Time for Pissed Off Politically Speaking. He is a national PR and campaign communications expert, editorial columnist, and former aide to three U.S. presidents. Here's your host, Scott Jones.
And a happy, happy Monday morning to you in a new and improving America. It's that time again. Welcome to Pissed Off Politically Speaking, right here on the 405 Radio. Be sure and follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio or the network at the 405 Radio. As we like to say, never a dull moment. Oy vey, another interesting week in Washington. We're going to get to that real quick. We've got a great guest coming up in our B block. We sent out the Capitol Police, the CIA, the FBI, Secret Service, and we did find Tom Rogan roaming the streets of Washington, D.C. We missed connections last week. He's going to be in our B block talking to us about the latest Washington, D.C. headlines of the week. So I hope you hang with us. He's a friend of the show. He's somebody I enjoy talking to very much. Usually my go-to guy on foreign affairs, and we've got a mix of that, but he's been popping up on a lot of the major cable news programs, just talking about the grind that's going on in Washington, D.C. with Donald Trump. And I'm going to admit it, he's a lot younger than I am, and I always like those perspectives. But he's a real smart guy, National Review Online columnist, doing a lot for the Washington Examiner lately. So he's going to be joining us in our B block. So hang with us. And I wanted to talk real quick about a couple of programming notes. I visited with our friend Brett Baer, anchor of Special Report on Fox News, earlier this week. And I was just kind of whining that, hey, we miss you. We haven't had you on the show in a while. And he asked me to contact him privately. I did. And we're working on setting up either pre-taping an interview or getting him live. I don't know if it'll be this next Monday or Monday week. But, we haven't talked to him since January. So that's pretty long stretch, and he is gracious as always, and said he'd be willing to come on. So we're working on that, and I'll that's a good reason to follow me on Twitter. If you're interested in programming on this show, I'm always tweet out what's going on. But just want to give you a heads up, we're going to have Brett Baer as an upcoming guest. Also, wanted to freshen up the show a little bit, talked with Mr. Executive Producer, and I'm going to be adding some features and maybe some rotations, some regular rotations of some people that I admire their opinions, and I bet you can't guess who those are, right? John Grant has graciously agreed to come on once a month, and I want to bring some structure to it. So I'm thinking maybe the second Tuesday of every month. You know, we had him on live, and he and I and Tammy together were the gang of 405 on Saturdays, and I always like the chemistry, and I always like the different points of view that both of my colleagues bring to the table when it comes to everything policy and politics. So I've got John roped into doing some sort of recurring segment with me. And again, we're looking at the second Tuesday of each month. Got a lot of positive listener feedback whenever I have Tammy on. You know, she's kind of got her own following here on the 405 Radio Tuesday nights with the Tammy Jackson Show. And I like her a lot. And, you know, she's the only one I've ever trusted to guest host this program. I haven't confirmed it yet, but I'm hoping to also add her to the rotation once a month of guest hosting. I had her on, I forget who did we interview. It was either Noah Rothman or somebody like that, but she brings also a different perspective. She's up in Oregon. I'm down in Texas. John's in Los Angeles, and, you know, screw the East Coast. I don't care what they think. All you got to do is turn on the lamestream news and know what they think about. But we're thinking about doing kind of a rotation. I'm working on a segment that hopefully will employ some humor. Called chicken salad or chicken shit, and I may have to clean that up, but where we look at the latest policy proposals or the latest news from Washington and make a determination if it's a tasty chicken salad or a bunch of chicken shit. And you know what? There isn't a scarcity, if you will, in Washington, D.C., of chicken shit, both in the media and what's going on in Washington, D.C. So I'm going to work it out. I want it to be humorous and I want it to be funny. And if I can make that work, we're thinking about adding a segment like that to the rotation. But anyway, those are just some programming notes. So John Grant added to the rotation, Tammy Jackson, once I can confirm, and some new special segments. And, of course, we'll have Brett Baer coming up. So anyway, those are the programming notes. Moving on to the news. Scaramouche, do you do the Fandango? Well, I don't know. God, there's so many big issues to choose from this week in Washington. Well, I guess we'll start with Anthony Scaramucci joining the White House staff as a quote-unquote communications director. He came out, and I guess it was Friday a week ago, kind of premiered himself. I guess it's right after Sean Spicer resigned, and came out and had a good performance in front of the White House press corps, then went right out and crapped in his own campsite, as we say here in Texas. He made a mess, and, you know, everybody's on this whole Italian thing and pearl clutching. I'll tell you what he did here in a second, but you know, this whole excuse that, well, he's a New York Italian and this is the way we talk and all that, I'm not so sure. He started acting more like a chief of staff than a communications director and got frustrated and kind of overshot his skis and called up a reporter for the New Yorker magazine, made the rookie mistake of not clarifying if he was on the record or off the record, and then launched into a profanity laced, which doesn't bother me, by the way, as you can tell, a profanity laced tirade against Reince Priebus and leakers and this and that and the other. Okay, your White House communications director, and you don't know how off the record works, number one. Number two, you go on a tirade about you want to kill these leakers, and anybody found leaking will be fired immediately, but you call up the New Yorker and leak. So are you going to fire yourself? I mean, you sat there and had a 30-minute conversation on the record with an anti-Trump reporter and talked about palace intrigue and all the stuff and made yourself the story, which is exactly what you said you were going to shut down. I'm just wondering, are you going to find yourself or fire yourself? You know, my deal is, what was it, Cheech and Chong? Bailiff, whack his pee-pee. Okay. He stepped in it, and he stepped in it large. And to show you how bad it is, I actually tweeted to Scaramucci that he needed to slow his roll. Here's some free PR advice. And Saturday, I opened my mailbox, and there was a dead fish in it. So, you know, I don't know if the Italian thing is a big deal or not, but anyway, Scaramucci, I don't know. When I first heard him at the press conference with Sarah Huckabee Sanders and all of that, I was like, okay, straight talk are good. This is what Trump needs. But then they get into the White House and they get all power hungry, and because they've got the keys to the private elevator, all of a sudden everybody's fired and I'm the deputy president and I want to kill people. I just think, and even grading on a curve for, you know, well, he's a New York Italian and we're expressive and all these, you know, excuses. If you're White House communications director, you damn well should know the difference between on the record and off the record. Okay, that's all I'm saying. You know, I taught my corporate clients. I spent 30 years in the public relations industry at a very high level. And I always told the CEOs that I worked with, there's no such thing as off the record, okay? But I know it's a Washington dance, but it was bad. It hurt the president, okay? I'm just saying, if he was the guy that was going to come in and be protective and say, I love the president 14 times at a press conference, well, you sure as hell weren't showing him love when you went out and did what you were condemning amongst other staff people and talking to this reporter about the interior, palace intrigue. You were linking yourself, Mr. Scaramucci. So you look a little ridiculous. Pause for sip of coffee. But in any event, despite all of that, it's palace intrigue, and for politicos like myself and others, it's interesting and it's something to talk about amongst the political chattering class, which I include myself in. But in the relative scheme of things, it's not that big a deal. And what I've become continuingly frustrated with is, the media coverage. And I'm gonna single out one of our friends. He's not our friend, but one of the people at Fox News, Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday. He had Kellyanne Conway on there and spent a good 5 minutes drilling her on, will Scaramucci report to General Kelly when he comes in as the new chief of staff? We'll get to all of that. But what does the org chart look like? Who can walk in the president's office without going through him? I mean, it was this ridiculous tirade, and I was waiting for, that hard-hitting closing question of, Kellyanne, will the desk in Scaramucci's new office face the window or the door? Okay. I mean, holy God, folks. I mean, who gives a damn? Who gives a damn about that? The president has the right to put people around him that he trusts. He picked Scaramucci, who went out and shot himself in the foot. He'll recover, okay, as long as he kind of slows his roll. And all the media wanted to talk about was the org chart and the office arrangements and the seating charts in the West Wing of the White House. Now, think about that for a second. Second quarter GDP was 2.9%, the best it's been in 10 years in a quarter, okay? The jobless unemployment rate is down substantially. Border crossings are down 75%. All the economic indicators are up. The stock market is making record highs. We've got both Iran and North Korea launching potential ICBMs that could hit the United States. Half the world's on fire, and the fucking media wants to talk about where Scaramucci's going to sit and who he can talk to and whether they're going to put a damn doorbell on the Oval Office door. I mean, does that not strike you as odd? I may talk to Brett Baer about this when he comes on, and I don't want to put him in an awkward position, with his colleague Chris Wallace. God love Kellyanne Conway. He went with using the Watergate moniker. He finally got to the Russia thing, the obligatory Russia thing and the Mueller thing and all of that, and used the Watergate reference again. And God love Kellyanne Conway. She told Chris Wallace, Watergate, we don't even have watermelon in this deal. And I thought that was a cute comeback. But, all kidding aside, I literally sit there and listen to her being drilled about this Scaramucci dude and where he was going to sit and what he looked like and who could he talk to on a Tuesday and all of this. And I'm just going to suggest to Brett Baer that his buddy Chris Wallace might ought to get out more often, because that's not what America's talking about. That's for sure. And it bothers me. It bothers me a lot that even the Fox News chattering class on the editorial side, not on Brett's Hard News side. I mean, they cover it, but they also cover the issues of concern to Americans on Special Report. But this editorial circle jerk, you know, Karl Rove talking about, you know, we're going to lose this, we're going to lose that. Well, when's the last time you've been right, Carl? 2004? Maybe? I don't know. But I'm really tired. I'm really tired of the grinding on this president. And you know for a fact that he wasn't my first choice as president. All right? But I'm telling you right now, the mainstream media, you talk about out of touch, they still don't get it. I mean, freaking Hillary Clinton's coming out with a book called What Happened. Well, you know, let me write the book for you, Hillary, right now. You fucked up continually. The end. Okay? You want to pay $27 for that? Go right ahead. We're going to take a quick break, and when I come back, we'll continue the dialogue. Tom Rogan coming up from National Review Online. We'll be right back with more.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Be his first day back in a bed, not surrounded by hospital monitors. Be his first awkward dance at prom, his interview at his first real job.
When you join the Be the Match Marrow Registry, you unlock the power to save a life and all the living that comes with it.
Be his memory of warm summer nights surrounded by fireflies. Be his tent beneath the stars, his perfectly sharpened marshmallow stick, and his first burnt marshmallow.
Go to BeTheMatch.org to find more information on the power inside you and the life-threatening diseases that power can heal. With a simple swab from inside your cheek, you'll be a registered marrow donor.
Be his freedom on the open road, his first traffic ticket, his first, and if he can help it, his last opera.
Thousands of patients, young and old, are searching for a match. Be the one to save a life. Take the first step at BeTheMatch.org.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech, and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
And welcome back to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio. Be sure you follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio or the network at the 405 Radio, as we like to say, never a dull moment. Sorry to get off on a tangent with the Scaramucci thing, but I'm not as irritated at Scaramucci as I am just the media obsession with every twist and turn of what color tie he's going to wear. And, you know, that's got to be news on the Sunday news shows. There's a lot of crap happening right now that are going to make the Democrats look pretty bad. I don't know if you've been following it, but this Imran Irani or whatever the hell his name is, a Pakistani gentleman, and I use that in quotes, that was the IT guy for Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was shut down accessing congressional computers, was arrested trying to leave the country to go to Pakistan after wiring $300,000 and all that kind of intrigue and all of that. There's something that stinks to high heaven there. The media is yawning about that, but by God, Anthony Scaramucci uses a little bit of saucy language and they all clutch their pearls and make it headline news across the country. And it's just, it's getting old. And, you know, candidly, and I don't have any empirical data to back this up, it's just what my senses tell me. There is about 80 or 90% of this inside baseball crap, up to and including the investigation on Russia, beyond the hardcore partisans or the liberal progressives who either voted or didn't vote. I think middle America could give a damn about this. I don't think anybody believes for one second that Donald J. Trump was an agent or promoter or what do you want to say, an accomplice with the Russian government to either affect or throw an election or anything like that. It was just the narrative that they came up with to explain, and again, Hillary's book, What Happened. It was their narrative to explain why she totally and completely blew it. Okay. And I just don't think mainstream America covers or cares about this stuff. And it just it bothers me. And so I got off on a tangent here using Scaramucci as the example. And of course, you cheer him on Friday and Tuesday, he shoots himself in the foot and you just kind of facepalm like, you know, guys, come on, you know, get your shit in the bag and let's get going. I listed off all those things, the economic indicators being up. We've got these world threats and all of that, and everybody wants to talk about a half Windsor knot on Anthony Scaramucci. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox on that. In other news, he did successfully embarrass Reince Priebus out of the White House's chief of staff, and Donald Trump picked who I believe to be not only a great American, but maybe somebody who could crack the whip and whip this crew in shape, General Kelly, David Kelly, who is head of HHS, Homeland Security, Secretary of Homeland Security, reports for duty today, taking Reince Priebus's place. You know, I feel sorry for Reince. Number one, I don't know that he had the original skill set needed and the temperament needed for this job. But the day they announced that it was going to be Priebus with Steve Bannon as kind of co-chief or shadow chief of staff and managing the place, to me, that was a setup for failure to begin with. But Priebus, I think, did what he could. He certainly deserves a lot of credit for helping get Trump elected in terms of his management style and his capability to manage the West Wing. I thought it was an ill fit to begin with. And I don't know. I think anybody that Trump had selected probably would have only lasted the 6 months anyway, just because it was a little bit of Animal House or zoo-like over there. But be that as it may, Priebus will land on his feet, and General Kelly is in. And I understand, in Chris's defense, I understand they want to know, is Scaramucci going to be a free agent or is he going to report to Kelly? But you can ask that question one time and then leave it alone. To make it an entire segment with a senior White House official on a Sunday show was just, you know, to me, a little bit much. But breaking news, this was Friday, Priebus out, and General Kelly in. I think there may be more White House departures, if you will, voluntarily or involuntarily. There is a lot of talk on the street in Washington that Priebus was one of the inside leakers. They fired a deputy press secretary last week that they pretty much had concluded was also leaking to media sources. You know, and I know that's the way Washington works, but for God's sake, I mean, if you're going to serve the President of the United States and have the privilege to work in the West Wing, and then you're going to turn around and leak crap about what the President eats and his health and his attitude on any given day, I mean, go do something else, okay? I mean, I think you have a certain duty and a certain loyalty in a staff position anyway, inside the West Wing, not to be talking about your boss in disparaging ways to the media. And I do think, you know, Scaramucci will run that to ground in the communication shop. I'm hoping General Kelly will, to use my Cheech and Chong quote, whack his pee-pee and slow his roll, you know, going forward, because I do think Scaramucci brings a lot to the table. I like his brashness. I like his directness and all that. But he made a classic power drunk mistake of making it look like he's the deal and not the president. And he committed a sin that he is talking about running out of the White House. Coffee break. In any event, in other news this week, we now know who the U.S. Senate GOP Surrender Caucus is. Lisa Murkowski, Capito, and, it was Collins. Lisa Murkowski, Collins, and John McCain killed the GOP, what they called the skinny repeal and all of that, and, you know, if anybody wondered why Congress only has a 17% approval rating, we saw it in action this week. We have spent seven plus years with GOP people, including the people that voted this down, campaigning on the repeal of Obamacare. And when push came to shove, they folded like a cheap gas station taco. And John McCain put the coup de grace in the bill, casting the deciding vote, and was seen later yucking it up with Chucky Schumer and all the club boys and all of that good kind of stuff. Now, mind you, this wouldn't have become law. This was just to vote some sort of restraint, if you will, or the beginning of the repeal of Obamacare or whatever, for it to go to a conference committee with a House bill and hammer something out. So we had three, and I'm using air quotes here, Republicans side with the Democrats and kill even the skinny repeal. They voted, and they called it the Votorama. God, what a herd mentality amongst the media. But they voted on three or four versions or three or four stabs at slowing the roll or beginning the process of repealing Obamacare, and we couldn't even muster the 51 votes needed. The 51 votes needed to even do what the GOP has been campaigning on for 7 to 7.5 years. Now, Donald Trump made the comment, you need to send me some more Republicans or new Republicans or something like that. And if that is not prima facie evidence that Trump is right about that, I don't know what is. But, you know, I know and I understand that once you give an entitlement, it's hard to take it back, okay? And a lot of this had to do with the funding of Medicare. I mean, it's just not a simple soundbite issue. But for the love of God and all that is holy, if you can't get a Republican majority to vote on at least advancing the process, I mean, what good are you? Now, I'm not saying I'd like to turn the Senate back over to the Democrats and I'd like to turn the House back to the Democrats, because that's not what I'm saying. And if you wonder why I would scare the shit out of me, all you got to do is watch Nancy Pelosi's interview with Chris Wallace on the same show I was criticizing earlier. That woman is about one facelift from the old folks home in terms of her mental capability. And the thought of her as speaker again actually makes me nauseous, okay? And it's the throw the Republican bums out isn't the answer. It's to throw the three or four rhinos out of the Senate and put somebody in there that's willing to vote for the conservative principles we need to get this president's agenda going. Because if you think about it, I mean, if you look at the, and this is in spite of all this crap that's been going on, Trump has been able to achieve some pretty good economic indicators through the rollback of regulations and just, you know, the business climate, the attitude. I mean, Barack Obama dreamed of 2.9% GDP growth in a quarter. And we've had that. And the employment numbers are looking better. And the stock market, as I said earlier, making record gains since the election. So there are some good things happening out there, folks. And I do think the people feel it. But, I mean, if you were to turn on the mainstream media or even a lot of the cable programs, you would think that we're going to hell in a handbasket. Now, we do face some challenges internationally. And I got to tell you, based on what I've seen so far, I'd have a higher confidence in Trump to address them than I would Hillary, what happened Clinton. I mean, it's just that's just the way it is. But the media continues to misfire. I think the media continues to deny the legitimacy of this presidency. I think the media is still wholly perplexed by people like you and me who chose Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton and still can't believe it. And that is very much reflected in their reporting. But they've gone so far over the edge, I think people are tuning them out. I really do. So anyway, that's kind of my soapbox this morning. It's kind of all over the place, and I apologize for that, but there's been a lot that has happened. Maybe we can get a better and more coherent and insightful person to address these issues. Therefore, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have a very smart young man, Mr. Tom Rogan of the National Review Online and now Washington Examiner, and throw some of these things at him and get his take. So keep it tuned right here. We'll be right back with Mr. Rogan. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out. Wrestling Mayhem Show right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
In Disney's classic The Lion King, Mufasa teaches his cub Simba to be confident,
wise and respectful of the world around him. As Simba grows, it's these values that help him claim his place as King of Pride Rock. In our world, every young person's future deserves the solid foundation that a father's involvement and encouragement can provide. And often, it's the smallest moments that can have the biggest impact on a child's life. A game of catch, an afternoon picnic, or even a hug at just the right moment can make all the difference in their world. Play your part in the circle of life. Take time to be a dad today. Visit fatherhood.gov to learn more. That's fatherhood.gov. This message has been brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Be his first day back in a bed, not surrounded by hospital monitors. Be his first awkward dance at prom, his interview, and his first real job.
When you join the Be the Match Marrow Registry, you unlock the power to save a life and all the living that comes with it.
Be his memory of warm summer nights surrounded by fireflies. Be his tent beneath the stars, his perfectly sharpened marshmallow stick, and his first burnt marshmallow.
Go to BeTheMatch.org to find more information on the power inside you and the life-threatening diseases that power can heal. With a simple swab from inside your cheek, you'll be a registered marrow donor.
Be his freedom on the open road, his first traffic ticket, his first, and if he can help it, his last opera.
Thousands of patients, young and old, are searching for a match. Be the one to save a life. Take the first step at BeTheMatch.org.
And welcome back to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio. Be sure and follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio or the network at the 405 Radio. Never a dull moment. It's always a good day for yours truly here when our next guest is on the show. He has really become a friend of mine, and I really admire him both as a person and as a professional. He is a columnist for the National Review Online, and hell, he may even be moonlighting for the Washington Examiner now. We're going to let him update us on what's going on with him. Mr. Tom Rogan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be with you, Scott.
Well, it's good to talk to you. I hadn't talked to you in a while. Hey, I've been seeing a lot of your stuff, Washington Examiner. What's going on with that?
Yeah, well, I've actually joined them full-time now.
Oh, wow.
That's where I am.
That is awesome. Are you still doing your NRO gig, too?
No, just Washington Examiner now.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, we love a lot of the people over there. We've had Susan Ferriccio on. We've had a couple of your colleagues on over there, but
She's very excited. Yeah.
Very excited that you're at the Washington Examiner. It's their gain for sure. Of course, we've been seeing you a lot on Fox News. I was Brett Baer is coming on. I was talking to him earlier last week, and I mentioned that was really liking seeing your face on his panels, too, and freshening it up.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. That's kind of you.
Well, you don't need my promotion because you're doing well on your own, but we were talking about you, that's why I wanted to have you on, because I know our listeners enjoy talking to you. I don't want to get into too much of the insider baseball thing, but my God, if you're going to be communications director for the White House, shouldn't you know the difference between off the record and on the record, Tom?
I think you hit the nail on the head, Scott. Look, it's obvious that Mr. Scaramucci has a learning curve, and I think he is someone who traditionally would have thought he very quick at learning the ins and outs of politics. But ultimately, if he's going to serve the president well, as well as himself, then he is going to have to get to grips with the fact that he can't sort of play the sort of loose, arrogant game, that he has to learn what he doesn't know. And I think that, at the most basic level, is what happened here, is that he took something, he was arrogant, he took something for granted, and he paid the price.
Well, and, you know, what really bothers me, and mind you, I don't mind him being straight talking, and, you know, I'm from Texas. If he uses profanity, I'm not going to be sitting around clutching my pearls and having the vapors, okay?
Yeah.
But you know, it just seemed like to me he was committing the offense that he was condemning. You know, he's sitting there, off the record or on the record, he's leaking to this reporter this interior palace intrigue, and then says he's going to fire everybody for doing exactly what he was sitting there doing, and I found that really off-putting.
I agree. I think that there was a lot of hypocrisy in play, and I think that he, in terms of, you know, the reaction that has followed, that he is getting some pushback about that. So, you know, it is a challenge that he himself is going to have to address, and he's not going to be able to dance around it.
What do you think about Kelly taking over?
I think it's a good step. You know, I had a piece on Friday. The functional benefit, I think, of Kelly is that he is someone who is smart, understands the importance of discipline, clearly has the trust of the president. But the real point will be, how much authority does he have to hire and fire effectively? Because if he cannot control the feuding, then nothing will change. And I suspect he'll probably resign in 6 months' time. Because why would he stay? I mean, you know, you have to empower people who are in that position. Clearly, Priebus was not empowered. And so Trump, you know, I suspect Kelly probably told Trump, listen, you know, I'm happy to serve it, but you need to give me the authority that you didn't give Reince Priebus. And so we shall see what happens. I think it'll become quite clear quite quickly whether or not Trump has deferred that authority in a way that he should have done.
Well, and I don't know how you feel about it, Tom, but in Reince's defense, I think he was kind of set up to fail from the beginning when they talked about this dual-headed operation of he and Bannon being like co-equals and crap like that. But I don't know. You could have hired God Almighty in the first 6 months, and Trump may have fired him, too.
Well, exactly. And I think part of the issue here is that President Trump has to recognize that a lot of these issues are his fault. The buck stops at his desk. He likes leaking to the press sometimes. He gets frustrated that there's not more sort of coordinated action from his team, but at the same time, he revels in these sort of games, these childish games of feuding. So, you know, again, the president has to set the initiative and the tenor of leadership. If he doesn't do that, you know, the ability of Kelly to fix these issues in a way that serves the president is going to be inherently limited.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'll give you a perspective of being a member of, quote, Flyover America. GDP 2.9% in the second quarter. Unemployment down. Border crossings down 75%. The Wall Street is setting records on the New York Stock Exchange. Incomes are rising. All these great economic indicators. We've got nuclear threats from now North Korea and Iran. And all people want to talk about is whether Scaramucci's desk is going to face the door or the window when he moves in. Is the media ever going to catch up to what's important to middle America? Because I don't think they think these things are that important.
No, I think that's true. But look, I mean, if the White House, if these plots are, you know, going on and a media in-person gets a call, they're going to run the story. And I think...
Oh, no, yeah, I understand that. I understand that. I'm just talking about degree of coverage.
Well, but at the moment, you know, in defense of the media on this, I think if you look at healthcare, for example, we are in limbo there. Now, the question will be, to what degree does... I mean, I have some sympathy for what you're saying, but, you know, a lot of this is, if the White House sorted out their issues, there wouldn't be much, there wouldn't be anything to report on anyway. You know, I think it flows from the top. You know, a White House can set the initiative. We are seeing, media bias aside, which is very real and tangible, we are seeing a lot more of this kind of coverage towards Trump than we did towards the Bush administration. And I think that is a function the Bush administration had, you know, whether it being Dana Perino or Andrew Card, you know, they had their you know, deck in order. They were on message, and that matters in politics, and it matters for the president, because every time he goes through this crap, you know, it delegitimates his ability to build consensus in Congress. I mean, you look at his tweets, for example, over the weekend, you know, threatening to pull healthcare coverage from members of Congress. That doesn't engender him to be able to build a deal with those members. You know, he doesn't seem to understand the power that Congress has as a co-equal branch of government, and it hurts him.
Well, I guess my point is, Tom, is I follow all your work, and I'm not singling you out, quote, as the media, but you routinely cover issues of substance. And I watched an entire episode this weekend of Fox News Sunday, and there was just this obsession with this Scaramucci thing that just, to me, kind of overshadowed everything else. And it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just a matter of degree, or maybe all of us out in Flyover America are just stupid and don't know what we ought to be focused on. But, you know, I think, for instance, and I'm interested in your take on this, I mean, it seems like poker just went up with North Korea with this second ICBM launch, and then you have the Iranians lifting off, I guess, some sort of satellite into space, yet all of them have nuclear weapons bans, but we all know in the background they're cheating. I mean, to me, those are clear and present dangers that seem to be kind of off to the side, or am I wrong?
Well, yeah, I mean, to some degree, but I think, you know, what we face with those issues is, you know, if you look at, for example, what is read on media websites, because we can track that, the political infighting gets read more. So I think part of the issue here, as much as people complain in middle America that perhaps they're not seeing any issues, they are more interested in clicking on those stories that suggest they are interested in those issues.
Interesting.
So, I mean, that is, you know, I've seen the data statistics. Of course, I would prefer to talk about, you know, I rarely write about the kind of palace intrigue. I would prefer our discussions to focus on those issues, especially when you look at North Korea. I mean, the level, I don't think Americans have an understanding of quite the level of the timeline of, you know, how serious this is now, that within 1 year, and I frankly think it could be 6 months, the North Koreans will have miniaturized a nuclear warhead and been able to put it on a missile that could reach, you know, Chicago.
And the problem is, Tom, there's no good solutions, are there?
Well, the solutions, there are solutions, but they are uncomfortable solutions.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There aren't any really good solutions.
Correct. Yeah. You know, Trump, quite frankly, could make a pretty convincing case to say, look, I'm the first one that is pushing North Korea as the priority issue. The Obama and Bush administrations ignored it and tried to push it off, and now I'm trying to lead on this. And I actually think he's doing a good job on North Korea thus far. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he, you know, wails about leaks and then does the same thing. And, you know, it doesn't help him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, final topic, are you going to... Well, actually, I wanted to ask you what you thought about Kid Rock running for Senate.
Well, I mean, you know, anyone should run for Senate. I think Kid Rock has, you know, he's shown himself to be a person of at least patriotism in terms of his trying to attend concerts for service members.
Yep.
But I actually think there's another candidate in that race called John James, who you know, wrote a piece on last week, I think, and saying why I thought he was better. He's a former army officer, businessman, went to West Point, clearly very, you know, bright, well-read, and I actually think he would be the better candidate, conservative. But look, you know, we shall see what happens in that primary.
Well, do you think there's going to be consequences for the GOP surrender caucus over this whole health care thing?
I do. I think, you know, in the people on the margins that, you know, Lisa Murkowski, Collins, that there will be, I think, some kind of primary reckoning eventually. But we'll just have to wait and see on that.
And then finally, I'm gonna. I don't know if you know. I'm ghostwriting Hillary Clinton's new book, What Happened?
I did not know that, but.
I wanted to give you a preview of it, and I know John Grant's got his finger on the edit button, but it goes like this. Chapter 1, you fucked up. Chapter 2, repeatedly, the end. That'll be $28. So feel free to take that and use it around the newsroom, okay, if you want to let people know that's in the book.
I think that's a good one. Yeah, I think that's – but look, it'll be interesting to read. It'll be amusing, won't it?
Well, I think she's just doing it to put her part on the record before she kicks the bucket down the road. It's a legacy play. Why people would pay for that, you know, I don't know. But
you know it'll be a bestseller.
Oh, yeah, because she'll buy all the copies through Foundation.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All right, sir, listen, thanks for spending the time with us. I'm sorry it was all over the place, but I wanted to catch up with you on several topics, and I know we covered a lot of ground. Let people know where they can follow you, read you, and all that good kind of stuff.
Yeah, so if they just go to the Washington Examiner's website, washingtonexaminer.com, and go to the opinion page, everything is there, and my profile page is there, so they can have a read there.
And at Tom R. Tweets on Twitter.
Correct. Thank you.
There you go, sir. Listen, thank you very much for spending the time. I know you're busy, and we always love having you on. I really appreciate it, man.
Thanks a lot. Good to speak to you, my friend.
You too. Take care. There you go, folks. Mr. Tom Rogan, now with the Washington Examiner. God, I need to get out more, too, and catch up with what's going on. But great organization, great alternative paper, a counter ego to the liberal Washington Post, and we always love having Tom on. So, in any event, we're going to take another quick break, and then I will be back with some final thoughts. Keep it tuned right here. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the talk alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out. Wrestling Mayhem Show right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
On the 405.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
And welcome back to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio. Be sure and follow me on Twitter at Pops Radio or the network at the 405 Radio. Never a dull moment. Big thanks again to Washington Examiner's Tom Rogan. Friend of the show. Friend of yours truly. He's a good friend to have. He is a smart young man, and I always enjoy his insights. I hate going so long without having folks on the show because I lost track of where he was, what he was doing, and then I had like 15 topics I wanted to talk to him about. But Tom is always the consummate professional and a good sport about me kidding around with him. And he has been a longtime supporter. He's, I think, in the three and a half years we've been on the air. By the way, we're in our, fourth year, I think. He's never told me no but once, and because he had an assignment conflict. And he's just always been a great go-to guy. So appreciate him coming on. As I said at the beginning of the show, Mr. Executive Producer, Mr. Grant, and I are going to be working on nailing down Brett Baer, and I'd like to have him live on Monday, but if not, we'll do a late week live tape with him that we will run Monday. It has literally been 6 months since we had him on the show. I think it was January, third week of January after his book, the Eisenhower book, came out. There has been so much that has happened, and he is so busy. But he has been always gracious to this show and to us here at the 405 and making time for us. And literally, we're just making scheduling decisions right now with his folks at the Washington Bureau of Fox News. So I'm looking forward to that. I promise you all have much crisper questions for Mr. Baer. But I don't want to pick a bone. I love Tom, and I understand the fallback on, well, Trump sends out the tweets and hands the media the ammo, but I'm still, I don't know, the whole Chris Wallace thing this weekend really got under my saddle, the burr under my saddle with his interview with Kellyanne Conway. With all the things going on in the world, put a fucking ring.com thing on the White House or the Oval Office door and be done with it, okay? Why are we talking about this? I still believe that outside of the media bubbles of New York, Washington, and L.A., there are a lot of us that think there are more important things to be talking about, because I'm telling you right now, the nuclear situation in North Korea is scary as hell. People are going on with their everyday lives and wonder, well, how does that affect me? Well, according to the reports that I read, this latest ICBM that was successfully launched now extends their capability as far east as Chicago and middle America, and places like Denver and Dallas-Fort Worth, where I am. And, mind you, that whole West Coast. So, and you heard Rogan say he thinks they may be further down the road than everybody else does, but there just aren't any good options with South Korea and a bunch of our soldiers 35 miles from the border. So there you go. Well, we are going to end it there for today. And again, we're going to be bringing you some new program features and all that going forward. So I hope you'll stay tuned. And had a lot to cover today, so it was kind of all over the place, but we'll be back next week with hopefully Brett Baer or another great guest. Again, we're working on scheduling, but keep it tuned throughout the day for a great program, and we'll talk to you next week. You're listening to Pissed Off Politically Speaking right here on the 405 Radio.